Reading from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My son glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Well, we've been advertising this afternoon as Jesus, the real Christmas, and we just want to take a few moments, if we can, to think about those things. For us, Christmas is a time of happiness and joy, a time of relaxation, a time where we'll get all excited and get stuck into things, and depending on what you're at, you will be very much looking forward to the big day. But that's to forget exactly what the first real Christmas was like. Because we're inclined to read the New Testament Gospels in that way as a time of joy. The baby Jesus had arrived. But for those who were living in that particular time, for those who were going through that period, it was anything but it. The coming of Jesus was very different. It was a time, in fact, of great upset and distress. It was a time that was life-changing. Mary and Joseph's life would never be the same again. And to a degree, it was a world-changing moment, for the world has never been the same since that first Christmas. We are here today because it happened, because all those years ago, it happened. But for those who were there on that first occasion, it was a day of trauma, a day of difficulty. We had the reading from Luke chapter 1 today, and perhaps when you go home, take time to read it again, and read it in your mind as we think about it this afternoon, because what was Mary doing that day? She was probably a girl somewhere 15, 20 years of age, fairly young, probably involved in household duties, getting on with things. It was just a day like any other day. You know those days you have, you get up in the morning and everything goes according to plan and you're just around there. She was down to be married to the local carpenter called Joseph, and obviously, who knows, did she have all the dreams that girls have about the great day of getting married and going to have her own home and her own family and all the things that go with that. Mary was just having an ordinary day like you and me, and then suddenly the angel walked into the room. What did he look like? Well, we're not told, actually. It's probably not bright shining and all the things that we see in the Christmas cards. Just someone walked into the room and said to her that he was Gabriel. He had come, and he had come with a message for her. She was going to have a baby who would be the Son of God, a baby who was going to be born to a girl who had not been married. And of course, I'm quite sure a lot of you here are saying, well, I'm not going to buy that one. It's really great to hear that, but when it gets to this, here we go again with these fantastical stories that we get around Christmas time. That's the trouble with Christianity. It's down to blind unbelief. You've got to believe in things that don't happen. You've got to believe in things that you just can't get your head around. And that's the trouble I have with Christianity. That's why I've put it to one side. Live in a world today where we expect that everything will be fine, that we can explain everything, and things that are out of our cast of thinking, we're inclined to dismiss them. And of course, there's men around in the television. Our friend Dawkins will again criticize Christianity for what he calls blind faith, a leap in the dark. Just take it, suck it in, and go with it. Don't ask questions. Well, you see, the trouble with guys like that is, and with a lot of people in the world today, they actually haven't looked at what it says. Because you see, Luke would agree with you. That's not happened. He was a medical doctor. He was well aware of how babies came into this world. He wasn't taken aback. The guy who wrote this, he was a doctor. He didn't have a CT scanner and he didn't have an X-ray machine, but he understood how babies came into the world. And you know something else? Everybody in Nazareth did too. You know, it wasn't a secret. It was an agrarian economy. It was a farming community with all those things. And if you live in a farm, it's not long before you find out how we get babies into the world. And everybody knew that. And he's writing this story. And he's not stupid. He understands that this is the facts of life. This is where things are at. And yet it's there that he tells us. And he tells us twice in two verses. First of all, he says twice he was a virgin. And he hammers it, and Mary herself will come back with it. The word is right up front. So here's a guy who's a medical doctor, and he knows exactly how things are done, and three times in as many verses he says to us, the problem was here, this girl was a virgin. He acknowledges it. It's there. And not only that, he highlights the fact that she was contracted to be married. Now we live in a world where that's perhaps not just as important as it is back in those days. But in those days, it was very important because people didn't live together. A contract of marriage was drawn up between the two families. There was a period of waiting while everything was proved. And if you were unfaithful in that period, under the Old Testament law, you could have been stoned to death. It was a very serious matter to be found to be unfaithful in that period of time. And it was something that in society was not taken the way it is today. So Mary got it. When the angel walked into her and first of all got over the shock of who this guy was who had turned up and started to talk to her in words that she couldn't quite get her head around, she's a bit staggered. I got a problem here. What am I going to do with this? Where do I go with this story? Because listen, let's be this, there's no blind faith in this girl. She didn't say, oh wow, what a day, tremendous, look, let's go with it, let's do it. She says, whoa, hold on a minute, whoa. Let's take it one step at a time. And Luke records for us, she was greatly troubled. She was perplexed. And the angel himself says to her, don't be afraid, because the girl was quite obviously terrified. She was unsettled. What was being asked of her was beyond anything that she could get her head around. For her, this news was not good news. It was the end of all her dreams and all her hopes. There would be no marriage. She would be damaged goods. She could avoid the death penalty because of the Roman occupation, but she was damaged goods, and as regards a marriage in the future, forget it. That was it. Economically, destitute. For when her mother and father went, who would look after her? Nobody. Nobody in the town would want to know her. Nobody would want to be near her or with her. She would become a social outcast. So we're not dealing with blind faith here. We're dealing with a girl who was faced with, I say, a life-changing moment. A moment that was of real concern. Think about it. Telling Dad, Dad, I've something to tell you. There was this angel turned up today, and he said, I'm going to have a baby, and it's going to be the Son of God, and I'm pregnant, Dad. What was the answer she got? Pull the other one. Do you think I'm stupid? I mean, do you really think I'm stupid? Do you think I'm going to believe that sort of story? That's the position she was in. That's what it means. She was perplexed and concerned. That's the real life situation that she was in. And not only that, she was saying to her father and to the world around her, the child she was going to bear was the Son of God. Now let us be clear about the God of Israel. The God of Israel was no tribal God. I know there's boys that talk about the Old Testament and they talk in terms that he was a tribal, but he wasn't. He was the God of the universe, the God who thundered from fire and lightning over the top of Mount Sinai. He was the God who was altogether separate and different. He was the God that they were told was not man in any shape or form, that man could not even look upon him. And the whole temple ritual separated and cut God off from them. He was distant and far. And to suggest in any shape or form that he would become a man was nothing less than blasphemy. So, Dad, I'm not only talking nonsense, I'm talking blasphemy. That's how serious the situation was. That is how unsettling it was. And we know in certain countries today how blasphemy is treated, and it was in exactly the same context back then. The world hasn't really changed. And she was putting herself in a terrible situation. And that's what we're at. And that's what Luke wants us to see. In fact, that's what God wants us to see when we read this story. The purpose it's written here is he wants us to consider and to think through what is going on here. He wants to challenge his world, and he wants to challenge us with what happened. He wants us to think through and to consider what faith is. And today I want for a few minutes just to ask you to look at Mary and to see what Christian faith is all about. It's not blind faith. It's not a leap in the dark. It is not taking hold of things that are beyond us. It's taking hold of things that we cannot understand, yes, but we do it with our minds wide open. So for a few moments, let me say five things about faith. First one I want to say is this: faith considers the issues. It's not blind. Real faith asks questions. It considers. That's what Mary does here. One of the words that's used of her, about her pondering, about her wondering. It's not just sort of sat down and said, no, I wonder what's going to happen next. It's the word of the bookkeeper. You know when you get the money in at the end of the month or the end of the week, whatever it is, and you sit down and you have so many bills to pay and you have so much money and you work the thing out until you have a few pounds left for yourself. That's the work that's here. She was trying to understand it. She was trying to get her head around it. What on earth is going on here? What is happening? And it asks questions. How can this be, she says. I can't get my head around this. I can't understand it. I can't come to, how can this be? Because you see, doubt is not wrong. I hope that some of you have learned the type of Christianity that says if you have a doubt that you get jumped on and shouted at and told not to be so stupid. Real doubt is not a problem. Doubt from a closed mind is a problem. A doubt that sets out to ignore and to set away and to say, I can't accept that. I don't want to know. I'm not interested. I just can't take it. No, that's not what's here. But Mary has a doubt that comes from a seeking heart. I wonder, are you here today and you're questioning life and you're wondering, and you know, what is this Christianity all about? What is this Christmas thing all about? What is this about this Jesus coming into the world? This one who came through a virgin. This one who came into the world. That so changed the world. That's good. Ask the questions. Please ask the questions. And I mean, if you want to talk to me, you want to talk to anybody here, we're happy to talk to you about those questions. Because that's what Mary did. She said, how can this be? I need some frame of reference. I need to get around. And the angel actually helps her by answering her questions, and he tells her how it will happen, that the Holy Spirit will be involved, that God himself will be involved with her, and the child will come from her. And indeed, he says, go and see your cousin Elizabeth. She was barren, old, couldn't have children. She's 6 months pregnant. Go see her. Go see what it is, for with God, nothing's impossible. With God, he can do everything. So ask the questions. Ask the questions. Consider the issues. Just don't dismiss it. We live in a world where it grieves me to see the way people dismiss Christianity today. You just throw it off and think it's all the old wives' tales. It's not. It's changed the world. That's why we're here today. But not only does it consider the issues, it responds gradually. Mary moves to her faith gradually and slowly. She ponders it. She thinks about it. There's a measured unbelief to some degree in Mary. Set it out for me. Let me understand it. And you know, we have suffered over the years in what's called the Damascus Road experience, where everybody thinks it comes with a blinding flash of light, that suddenly one day, bang, and I'm different. Well, very often in people's experience, it comes a climactic moment. But in my experience, as I've been working the Lord's work for 30 years now, it tends to be part of a journey. It tends to be part, the end of a journey, where someone has started seeking and they've begun to move along, and slowly they've come to that place where God has worked in their heart and they come to understand it. Are you on that journey tonight? Well, follow it. Be like Mary, go with it. Follow it through. It would be the end of the song before she got to the place where her faith was full. But friends, it's a tremendous journey to be on. One of the things I have find again and again in life as I've talked to people. I used to be stupid enough to think when I preached gospel sermons that people had this Damascus Road experience and that was it. And people did get saved in our churches over the years. And I always took time to go and say to them, tell me how it happened. And more often than not, I was told it was nothing to do with you really. It was the last moment and a whole lot of things that had happened in my life that brought me to that point. And God deals with us like that. He knows who we are. He knows where we are in life. He knows where you are. He knows the problems. He knows the difficulties. He knows where you are in life. He knows the issues that are in your heart. I'm looking at you and I don't know them. But you're not here by accident today. You're not here by chance. God has brought you here on that journey of faith. And it may be not today, but it may be in a day to come. But you'll find him. It's a tremendous opportunity. Mary responds gradually. Her faith grows as she goes with it. And I encourage you, friend, if you are on that journey, keep after it. Ask the questions. Bow your head, bow your heart with it and say, Lord, you know where I am. Make it clear to me. Help me understand it. Help me grasp what's going on. Lead me to the truth. But not only does it respond gradually, it responds thirdly in willing surrender. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Surrender is always at the heart of the Christian faith because that's what sin is. Sin is living life for ourselves, doing our own thing, being arrogant enough to take all the blessings that we've received that we have not in any shape or form earned or taken, and we take them to ourselves, we live them for ourselves, and as regards God, we forget about him. He's just not on the sheet. He's just not part of the page. He's not something that we're interested in. We don't wake up in the morning and say, God has given me another day. No, I've got another day. I've got to get through it. I'll get on with it. I'll do it my way. I live the way I want. I will follow the path I want. I'm here on my own. Mary could have reacted like that, but she didn't. There was a willing surrender. It was willing. A willingness for all that God asks. Because that's the path of faith where God will ask of you. I promise you this, if you come to him, he will ask of you. He will ask you to live a different life. He will ask of you to be changed. He will ask you to listen to his word and to follow him. He will want that he is the center of your life. Jesus Christ came into this world and he comes with a totalitarian demand and said, unless I'm first, unless I'm the person who is keen in your life. No. That's the bit we find hard. That's the bit we struggle with because nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to live life for myself. But not only all that God asks, all that God sends. Mary set it out on the path. Wow, what a path. I've often sat and thought what it was like in Nazareth when both her and Joseph went and said, we're actually getting married, and it became clear that something was wrong. And the gossips and all that started. And she would follow the issue until that day she stood before a cross, as promised, when a sword pierced her own heart as she watched her son die on the cross, as he gave himself for us. All that God sends. Because becoming a Christian, we don't teach here that come to Christ, everything's fine. No, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes life is just downright hard and difficult. But we've got to be ready for it, because we believe that God holds us in his hands and God leads us and God takes us forward. So there's a willingness to give in to him, and it's a surrender. A surrender, not with gritted teeth. It's not, well, you've got me in a corner and I suppose I'm going to have to follow. You ever been put there? You know, a guy gets you up against the wall with his elbow in your throat and you say, okay, give in, I'll do it. No, that's not what's here. I'm your servant. I'll do with it. It's yielding to the one who is able. And her whole background, and we'll see it in the song in a minute or two, is one who knows the greatness and the power of God. And our God is the God of the universe, the God who is able to do everything and anything he likes. He spoke and the universe came into being. Yeah, you say, what about all the science? Don't worry about the science. How God did it, he hasn't told us. He just told us he's done it. And it's there. And Mary bows before the great God of the universe and she says, let it happen. Let us go with it. Let me put it to you like this, as we sing, she sings a song. It's a record of all his great deeds. The bit that Elliot rang, Mary's Magnificat, you might know it as from some of your church background, but it's just a record of all that God has done, all the great things that he has done through history, how he has kept his word. And on that basis, she gives in to him. She yields to the God of heaven, the God who loves her, the God who cares, the God who's... And that's the one who calls you, the God who loves you. Christmas is here because God loves this world. If God didn't love us, we wouldn't have a Christmas. They wouldn't be talking about the baby Jesus. He'd have left us on our own to find hell ourselves. And we're going to find it. Something else I was thinking about, pick this up somewhere else. That's supposed to be a sheet of paper. Suppose it looks a bit like it. Just one thin sheet of paper. If that's the distance from the earth to the sun, which is 93 million miles, right? Just want to put a few figures in your head. That stack of papers is 70 feet high. That's from the earth to the nearest star, which I heard a couple of nights ago on the television. It will take 200 years to travel to by a spaceship that we have today. That stack of papers is the breadth of the Milky Way, our galaxy, 300 miles high. That is one of over 1 million galaxies that they found in the universe at the last count. The God of heaven is the one to whom we yield. His power is without end. His knowledge and ability is far beyond everything. Friends, as I watched the television, I watched it with my son on Thursday night, this program about the subatomic world and mind-bending stuff. I couldn't get my head around it, but all I could say was this: God made it all. What a wonder. These little things that straighten everything out, the design, the structure, how it all comes together, yield to the God of heaven, the God who calls us to love him, the God who loves us and has given his son that we should come to him. But not only that, it responds. Faith responds from the heart. It's not a cold sort of ticking of the box. You know, it's not, well, I believe that, and that. I'm in. I'm okay. There's some organizations you can join like that. I've joined a few like that. I mean, on the internet, they ask you, what age are you? Right, the right age, that, right, you're in. No, this is about the heart. And the heart comes when she visits Elizabeth, and she finds there, first of all, what God has said. Her cousin is 6 months pregnant. As she walks through the door, God speaks to her through Elizabeth as she says to her, you are the mother of Messiah. What have I got to do with this? And suddenly she bursts into it. In that moment, God has told her, God has answered, God has brought her all to place, and she sees it in that moment. Very often, that's what we call the Damascus Road experience. Very well, in that moment, that's the moment where we see it all. I can remember that in my life. The day it clicked. At the end of a journey. And you know something? It's clicked a whole lot of days since. A whole lot of days since is just the wonder of what God is doing and all that he has done for me comes and it clicks in a moment. And Elizabeth got it. Mary got it. As she stood there and the angel's word was fulfilled, pregnant, 6 months, and the greeting that she is that. She is the mother of Messiah. She is the one whom God has chosen to send the Messiah into the world. That's what Jesus is. He is the only Messiah. He is God's anointed, promised one from the dawn of history. We've sung it in the carols today. From the dawn of history, God has promised a day would come when Adam's failure would be corrected by one from this human race. And the only one that could do it was Jesus of Nazareth, God's own son, sent into time to rescue us and to save us. And Mary responds with joy and delight. My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. What a delight it is. What a thrill it is to sing the words that we sing, to rejoice in him and to know it, the fire of it. I'm probably one of those people that gets a bit too excited. Forgive me for that, but you know, it's what it does. Set your heart on fire to know your sins are forgiven, to know the life of God in your soul and your heart, to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, as the one who walks with you closer than any friend on earth, the one who through the deepest darkness of the world walks with you every step of the way. I have had a ministry over the years that has brought me into contact more often than not with elderly ladies who had lost their own husbands. And the many times I've sat and talked to them and I hear it again and again. They'll say this to me, I don't know how people make it through without Jesus. I don't know how they do it. And they made it. And I did their funerals. And we had a church of 200 in Dundonald that was packed with people who came because we Mrs. So-and-so had passed away. But they saw something in her. Respond from the heart in willing surrender. And finally that sense of wonder. That sense of how could this happen to me? I'm not worthy. I'm not here to tell you today, but we're all better than you are. Probably some of us are worse than you are. You know, if you knew the background that I've had, I mean, you might walk away from me. You might want to know me. You might think that I'm not just in your class. That's not what it's about. I'm here to tell you that though I never deserved it, though that you never deserved it, God has given us Christmas. God has given us his son. God has moved into time. And that's what the song is. Again, Mary comes back with its song and she says, the mighty one has done great things for me. Why did I deserve it? I'm only a slip of a girl. And yet I'm to bear Messiah. I'm to carry the Son of God. I'm to bring the one into the world who is going to bring God's salvation to pass. And someone who has faith is always lost in wonder. Why me? One of the joys I have in this church at the minute is listening to one or two of the older folk pray on a Wednesday night at the prayer meeting and sometimes before the service, and that sense of wonder. They've come a long way through life and they say, Lord, I don't know why you picked me. I don't know why this has happened to me. I see a lot of people around here cleverer than I am, or better than I am. But Lord, I see it. And I can't believe it. Faith. That's what Mary had. A faith that challenges you and I about the real Christmas. That meets you on the journey of life. It asks, have you considered the issues? Is that where you are today? Have you sat and thought about it? Well, can I plead with you? Don't dismiss Christianity just simply because somebody's told you it's a lot of nonsense. Because it's the cool thing, the in thing to do. Because it's the way all your mates are getting on. If you are hearing the voice of God in your heart, check it out. Take the path. Open it up and come to the place of willing surrender from the heart and with wonder. We would love that you would do that. You're here as a visitor today and we have a little booklet that we'd love you to take with you. Just to take and read, to think about some of the issues that we've had today. It asks you to look at the Bible. It talks about the Bible very seriously because one of the biggest problems that we face today is that most people who don't go to church, who don't think about, don't bother reading the Bible, they actually have heard it somewhere and they've got this idea what it says, but this little book will help you to look at it and to see this truth for yourself, to see the facts. Two guys in the front hall, don't have to just say, just take it. We're only too happy to give it to you. Take it away and read it and pray the prayer. Pray, Lord, open my eyes. And maybe you're here today and the journey's begun. And you know it's time to give in. You know it's time to come to the Savior. You know it's time to say, I give up. That's all you've got to do. You don't need big fancy prayers. Just give up to Him. Follow Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray as we look at it, Father, that we'll find the relevance of that first Christmas, that we'll understand the challenge that is there in the coming of Jesus Christ. And oh, Father, we pray that you will speak to all our hearts. You know where we are today, Father. There's nothing hidden from you. There's nothing that you don't know and don't understand. And Father, we pray that you will lead us to that faith in Jesus that is the faith that saves. That, oh God, and Father, we pray that you'll work in all our hearts for the great glory of your name. Father, hear us this day, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.